our key number lift stop button.
Hey everybody, it's Chastity here to talk about guide dogs. Some guide dog issues. One of Scott's comments and Larry's comment compelled me to bring up some more issues that have been on my mind. I decided to address them all in one post because I only have like 2 or 3 minutes to say about each of the issues. Chris is going to make comments here when he sees fit because he's been with me, you know, through a lot of experiences since we've been together for 6 years, and you know, he kind of knows a little bit of it too. Chris?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to check. Make sure you're still awake. I've had a guide dog for about, it'll be 6 years this summer that I've had her. And the first thing I wanted to talk about is public misconceptions about guide dogs. A lot of people seem to think that, you know, your guide dog is your life. Or, you know, your guide dog is, you know, you can just say, go to Walmart, or go to PetSmart, or go to the school, go to room 205 if you're at college, you know. Go to 205, you know, Clark Hall or something. I mean, you know, and they'll go there. And I hate that public misconception. I remember I was getting off the bus at college the other day. Chris and I live in an area that's not very accessible with the bus line. So, unfortunately, right now I have to take public transport. I have to take paratransit this year. But we're hoping to relocate a little bit across town so that I won't have to do that next year. But I was getting off the bus. It was Thursday evening. I take evening classes at the school. And the driver said, do I need to walk you to the curb or does your dog have it? And I said, oh, well, you don't need to walk me to the curb because I know how, and my dog doesn't have it, but I do. And, you know, so she's like, oh, okay. And then as I proceeded down the stairs, she kept talking to my dog and making noises and going, hi, baby, hi, you know, and I said, please don't talk to her. You know, I was kind of in a bad mood that day because other stuff was going on, but, you know, I was like, please don't talk to her. And she's like, oh, I didn't touch her. And I'm like, I don't care, you know, talking to her is still a distraction. And I probably said it more firmly than I really should have, and, you know, probably should have taken the time to explain it to her. But, you know, I think that's a bad misconception that people have, is that, you know, they think your dogs know when to cross the street. Even my dad one time, when he was explaining it to somebody, he's like, yeah, this dog knows when to tell her to cross the street, and this dog keeps her safe, and, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, the school that I went to said, you know, sometimes there are times when they know not to cross the street, like if a busy car's coming and you tell them. But there's other times when it's not so clear to them, and ultimately it's your responsibility to know. And I just don't think a lot of people realize that. And another thing that really bothers me is that when you're walking about, like, for instance, you know, when I'm on campus, sometimes I have a lot of things to do. Sometimes I need to do, you know, 5 things in 20 minutes, and I'm just hopping from place to place to place to place, trying to get everything done before my meeting, or before I meet with my reader, or before class, and I'm just, you know, really on the go, and I don't have time to stop and talk. I don't have time to stop and answer questions about guide dogs. I don't have time to stop and let people pet my dog for 5 minutes, and it just bothers me that, you know, people will just, like, jump right in front of you. You know, you could be on your way to class, you could be, you know, it could be 3 minutes before your class starts, and you gotta walk to the other side of campus, but people, for some reason, you know, they forget about deadlines. They forget about everything when they see a dog. Like, it's just a totally different world for them, it seems like. And they just don't hesitate to stop you, or they don't think about what you might have to do, or what they might be preventing you from doing, how they might be taking up your time. They don't think about any of that. They just stop you and start petting, and that really annoys the hell out of me. And If it's a kid, I can kind of understand, but I'm amazed sometimes a lot of kids don't, and parents don't, you know. Other times, if somebody reaches out and pets my guide dog, I'll automatically not let them pet her, you know, even afterwards. But if they ask, I might let them do it. Or, for instance, you know, sometimes I'm going to take this lady that I met named Karen. She's a professor at the university. She came up one day and petted my guide dog without asking me. And that time I told her no. And I told her why. And then, 2 weeks later, she came up and she asked me, and then I let her, you know, because she knew at that point, you know, that there were certain times you were and were not supposed to pet a guide dog. But apparently she was not all there, because then 2 weeks later, my dog was going to the bathroom, and she comes up and comes, like, right between me and the leash, you know, because I had my dog on a long leash, you know, relieving herself, and she comes between me and the leash and says, hi, and starts kneeling down to pet my dog, and I was just in a bad mood that day, and I noticed a lot of times my responses to the people depend on what kind of mood I'm in. I hate to snap at people, but it's just like, you know, now I kind of know, and I this is a bad comparison, but now you kind of know how, like, famous people feel, or, you know, not necessarily famous, because that's, but you know how, like, other bigger names feel, you know, if they're known, even in the community, you know, if they're known, and people just stop them, and they always expect you to be in a good mood, and they always expect you to put on, like, this little cheery smile and talk for an hour, you know, or for 10 minutes. And sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes you may not be in a good mood, just like anybody else, you know. Or sometimes you might have somewhere to go in a hurry. And people just always expect you to stop and talk and let them pet your dog and talk to them about your dog. And it's just really annoying to me sometimes when I have so much stuff to do and people expect me to stop and talk. And other times I feel really embarrassed because there was another occasion where this guy came up to me, and he's like, can I pet your dog? And I said, sure. Because I was sitting down, and it was like, it was a calm, you know, situation. I was sitting down. She had her harness off. We were outside. And, you know, if it's something like that, I don't really mind. Obviously, I never let them do it when I'm standing up or if I'm working or, but she had her harness off. We were sitting outside. It was, you know, I was just kind of waiting for a bus. I had a lot of time to kill. So I said, okay. And he goes, he said, I know that I'm supposed to ask before I pet dogs. He's like, some lady really snapped at me a couple weeks ago and I pet her dog. And I said, oh really? And he goes, yeah. And she really taught me a lesson. And I said, oh wow. I said, I didn't know there was a lot of people on campus that had guide dogs. And he's like, yeah, I reached out and pet her dog and she, you know, without her asking her. And I guess I really made a mistake because she really went off on me. And then he hesitated for a few seconds, and he goes, actually, come to think of it, it was you. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry. I must have really been in a bad mood that day. You know, I think I remembered after that I was walking through the cafeteria area. It was like a, not really a cafeteria, but they have a cafeteria, what they call it the Nosh. And they have all different kinds of food. It's really good. And then outside they have outside of the cafeteria in the university still, they have tables where you can sit and eat. And I think I was walking through like the mess of tables and people were pulling out their chairs and had book bags all over the place. And I was in a hurry and I was walking through all these tables and book bags were all over the floor and chairs were pushed way out into the middle of the place where they shouldn't have been. And I think he like pulled out his chair and started talking to my dog or something. And I said, don't talk to her, she's working. And I don't really go off on people that bad, but I guess sometimes the tone of my voice throws them off. Like, if I'm in a real hurry, I speak firm, and sometimes I don't know that I'm doing it. You know, sometimes I don't realize how firm I'm speaking to somebody, or sometimes I do if I'm just in a bad mood and don't, you know, don't want to be bothered with that day. That doesn't happen a lot, but it's just, you know, just if I'm in a hurry, if it's like 5:28 and I have to be at class at 5:30, you know, it's a different kind of deal. And I also wanted to talk about family interference. Chris and I decided to go to a concert on March 4th, and I left my dog with my parents, and they have 4 dogs, but normally they're pretty understanding when it comes to her. I've had problems with all kinds of family members, but my parents are usually pretty understanding. I think my dad knows a little bit more about it than my mom, or not knows, but he accepts it more and follows the rules a little bit more than she does. I mean, she always wants to try new things, and my dad doesn't do that so much. So I have to give him a little bit more credit than her. But I had them watch my dog for me that weekend, and that was the very first time since I've had her that I've had anybody watch her, because I'm really picky about who does it. I have never let any friends do it. You know, I trusted my family because they are total, you know, dog lovers. They have a fence and yard. I mean, they're such big, you know, dog lovers that they have 4 dogs and they let 3 out of 4 of their dogs get on the table and drink out of their glass and eat out of their plate. And I mean, they don't let my dog do that, of course, you know, because they know that what doesn't go over well with me. And they have a Rottweiler too, and they don't let him do it either. But I left my dog with my parents because I had a long ride to the concert. and I was riding in somebody's car, and not only that, but I was in the front row of the concert, so I didn't really want to bring her with me. I've tried that a couple of times with more calm shows than I was going to, like country acts and stuff, and she hasn't really responded very well, so this was if anyone's familiar with the band Van Zant, which is Johnny and Donnie Van Zant from 38 Special and Lynyrd Skynyrd, they formed a duo. We went to see them, and we were going to be in the front, and I knew it was going to be loud, so I didn't bring her with me. And when I came back, my dad called me Sunday morning, and he said, Vanda sprained her foot. And I said, how did that happen? And he's like, well, you know, we let her run wild in the backyard, and, you know, we didn't... And I clearly told them before I left, you know, make sure she's supervised. Make sure she's supervised. You know, don't let her run with your dogs unsupervised. And they apparently didn't listen, and then she sprained her foot. And it just, things like that bother me when I say specifically, don't do that. And then, you know, they wanted to offer, oh, well, you know, you can just use your cane. And I thought, well, you know, it's not really your place to offer any suggestions. It was your place to take responsibility to begin with, so this didn't happen. And so, you know, so I had to take her to the vet. I was very adamant that they paid the vet bill because it was not my problem. And I made them pay the vet bill for that. And, you know, they wouldn't listen to me, you know, as many times as I told them, don't let her run wild with your dogs. She's not supposed to. They wouldn't listen to me. And I guess it's somewhat my fault because I should have, you know, known better not to put her in that situation, but I figured it would be okay. But, you know, when the vet told them not to do it, and all of a sudden, oh, you know, they listen to the vet, and, you know, they make sure she doesn't run, and, you know, all these things when I go over there now. So, it's crazy. And then my aunt has a big problem with my dog. You know, she just whistles. You know, she'll call her and make noises, like, with her mouth, and, you know, whistle. You know how people call dogs, and whistle, and make noise, and come here, you know. And first of all, come here. You know, those are two different commands to a dog. At least at my school they are. You know, come and here are two different commands. And then one time, she had heard me say hup up before. And apparently she thought that meant get up onto something. And she was sitting on the couch and she called my dog and she goes, hup up. And I thought, okay, first of all, you're telling her to walk faster. And she's not in harness, you know. And it just makes me really angry when... I try not to deal with that as little as I can, but, you know, it just makes me angry when I'm forced, you know, if I'm at a family get-together or she's at my house, and it just makes me really angry when she does that, and I just flat out tell her not to. Because all my family just does not understand, except I think my dad has a little bit understanding than most people do, but even he doesn't understand totally, you know, and a lot of my family just don't understand guide dog, you know. Because my mom's always comparing my dog's always comparing my guide dog to their dogs. You know, well, you know, just like our dog Luke, you know, Vanda wants to do this, or, you know, she wants to do that, or, you know, just like our dog Baby, or just like our dog Splash, or just like our dog Harley, they have four dogs. And my mom's always comparing her to one of their four dogs, and it just, you know, it's like, is your dog Luke a guide dog? No. Is Harley a guide dog? No. You know, it bothers me that people do that. And the last thing I wanted to touch on was guide dog discrimination. I belong to the list of, at my school, the Juno L list at Guiding Eyes. And I recently read a post where one man was denied from a Subway and another man was denied from a Chinese shop. I know Chinese places are notorious for denying guide dogs. They just don't understand, you know, and that's one of the things, and I don't mean to sound like I'm against anybody, but I think, you know, that's one of the reasons that people need at least one person that speaks English employed at a restaurant. Because, you know, that's obviously communication for us, you know, as blind people. That's our main thing, you know. Mostly if people speak foreign languages, they can point. You know, they can, if a sighted person comes in, they can point. Or, that you know, make visual gestures so that the communication goes smoothly. But for us, you know, it's all about verbal communication. So... you know, it's like, you can't describe to the people the guide dog laws because they don't understand you. They don't know how to read it very well and understand it. You know, it's really sad, that a lot of people are like that. I've gotten, discriminated against, or, you know, denied on three occasions, two in person and one over the phone. The first one was at a Chinese restaurant. The day I graduated, I was turned down, and the lady actually went as far as kicking my dog under the table, and I called the cops, and the cops weren't even willing to listen. I had my guide dog law book with me, and I had it open to the Missouri law page, because I live in Missouri, and I had it open to the Missouri law page, and the cops said, "I'm not interested in this. I already know the law. You don't need to tell me what the law is," or, you know, I forgot how he said it, but, you know, and he said, "You know, you can either leave by yourself, or I'll make you leave," and, you know, basically, we ended up having to leave, because she said, that Chinese lady said that I had to sit in the corner, and my friend had to go get my food from the buffet for me, and so we ended up leaving. To make a long story short, I called the sheriff, or the assistant chief of police, I forgot, but, and he straightened everybody in the department out eventually, and, because the guy wouldn't believe me that it, you know, the police officer who came that day wouldn't believe me that it was a criminal law. He said, "Oh, no, it's only a federal law, you know, you'll have to do this, it's a civil law, it's only a civil law, and you'll have to deal with this in court," and then even the, chief of police wouldn't believe anything. They had to call the Department of Health, and they tried to call the Department of Health and have them back them up, and the Department of Health said, "No, if it's a working dog, it's allowed in an establishment. We don't consider that a health hazard," because that was their main argument. "Oh, well, it's considered a health hazard to bring her up to the buffet," and the Department of Health wouldn't back them up, and they said, "No, if it's a working dog, it's not a health hazard," and so that resolved that situation. And then another time was that I called to make a reservation. I don't know why I did this, because normally 9 times out of 10, I don't tell people ahead of time that I have a guide dog, but I don't know why I did this. It was because I was going way out of the way to go to this restaurant, and I didn't feel like getting there, and just to find out, you know, I went an hour away just to find out that I was denied, or, you know, whatever. And this was a pizza eating contest that Chris and I were going to be participating in. And the guy, when I told him, you know, that I have a guide dog, he goes, "Oh, well, somebody will have to stand outside with your dog." And I said, "Why is that?" And he goes, "We don't allow dogs in here." And he sounded like an 18-year-old kid. And he said, "You know, we don't allow dogs in here." And he goes, "You know, your dog will sit under that table, and you can feed your dog the pizza, and he can eat your portion of the pizza for you. And, you know, that'll be cheating in the contest." And I said, first of all, my dog has health issues with eating different foods. She has irritable bowel syndrome. And I said, you know, second of all, guide dogs are not trained to do that. And no matter what, he wouldn't believe me. To make a long story short on that one, he said he was the manager, and it turned out to be a lie. Once I got a hold of his manager, his butt got fired. So that's to make a long story short on that one. But I had to call the police on that one, too, because for the longest time, he insisted he was the manager. And I called the police, and I told them, you know, this restaurant won't let me in with my dog. And the officer's like, "Oh, well, you know, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to see if this restaurant will deny you so that you can file a lawsuit and win money." And, you know, the cop was, like, very arrogant about it. He's like, "You know, I know what you're trying to do. I bet you're one of those people that walks into random businesses with your guide dog, and you try to test the business and see if they'll discriminate against you so that you can win money." And I was just really appalled at this officer. I was like, what kind of thinking does he do? And so, you know, that situation got resolved. I really should have taken that complaint with the officer. I really should have taken it to his boss, but I ended up not doing that, unfortunately, but I really should have. And then the most recent situation happened a couple of weeks ago when I was at the university. And this got resolved really successfully, too. I was on the campus shuttle. There's a campus shuttle that drives people around from building to building. You know, all the students, you know, you can get on at one building and get off across campus. It takes about 5 minutes instead of walking a 20-minute walk. And I got on the shuttle, and all the shuttle drivers had changed. I went to the same university between 2000 and 2004. And, you know, they had mainly the same drivers between those 4 years, and the drivers all knew me. Then, I guess in 2004 to 2005, when I wasn't there, they got new drivers, except for one guy. And so I get on the bus, and this lady's never seen me before, because, you know, she didn't drive when I was getting my bachelor's. And she says, "I don't think you're allowed on this bus with this dog." And I said, "It's against the law." I said, "You can't refuse, you know." I had an interview in, like, 10 minutes, and I didn't want to put up with her. And I said, you know, you can't refuse, it's against the law, you know, period. And she radios in to her dispatcher, and she goes, there's a lady trying to get on this bus with a dog, and, you know, I'm trying to tell her she can't do that. And I said, please specify, ma'am, that it's a, I said CNI dog, because that's what people know him as. They don't know guide dogs. A lot of people are, you know, I said guide dog and seeing eye dog. I said, I made sure to say both terms in case the person on the other end wasn't all there, you know, because a lot of people know them as seeing eye dogs, and they don't, a lot of people aren't familiar with the term guide dog, and I didn't want to stop and give a 10-minute explanation. And I said, please make sure it's, you know, you say it's a seeing eye dog or a guide dog or a service animal. And I made sure to name all three. And she goes, this lady says it's a service animal, you know, and she was frantic, and then her boss made her mad because he said 10-4. He said, if it's a working dog, it's allowed on the bus. And he kind of said it with an attitude like, duh, lady, you should know. And so she's freaking out, and I'm sitting right in the front seat because there's a lot of room. The other seats are, like, really, really, really tight squeezes, and, like, usually people put their book bags under the seats. And I find a lot more room in the front, so I sit there. And so this lady says, you're going to have to sit in the back of the bus because, you know, I'm afraid of dogs, so you will get in the back of the bus. And I said, no, I won't. I said, you know, I said, I don't have to move anywhere. I said, you don't have the right to restrict where I sit. And I'm going to add something about this lady, that she was African-American, and one of the students got really angry. He was in the back of the bus, and he got really angry and said, two words, lady, Rosa Parks. And, like, all the students were really angry that she was treating me that way, because she was holding up the bus because she was so afraid of dogs, and people were getting late for their classes, and she was just holding up the bus for, like, 10 or 15 minutes, screaming about the dog. If you don't move to the back of the bus, how are you going to get from point A to point B? You know, do you understand? You're not going to get from point A to point B, because I'm scared of dogs, and I will not move this bus if you have that dog. And just screaming her head off. And then her supervisor meets her there, because I called the shuttle place that's in charge of the shuttle, and her supervisor meets her there. And then about six other supervisors pull up. A student was, like, basically giving me a play-by-play. And about six other supervisors show up and start surrounding her. And she's screaming at the top of her lungs at all six of these supervisors. And it got so bad that she quit. She quit driving that shuttle for that day because she was so alarmed. And, you know, all the supervisors were very educated and happened to know the law. And they said, no, you can't make her move. And then what made me angry more than anything is that she lied and said that my dog jumped on top of her in the seat. And she lied, and what made me mad is that she didn't even have half the brain to think, you know, oh, there's about 10 other students on here who can, you know, witness one way or the other. And all the other students said, no, the dog didn't do that, when they were asked by the supervisor. You know, she didn't even have half the brain to think, well, maybe these people might say that I lied, you know. And so the next day I found out she was removed from the company because she absolutely refused to drive a bus if there was a service animal on. And she was so freaked out and screaming at the top of her lungs at everybody, I'm not going to do this, and I don't have to. And she kept screaming at her supervisor, I never said she couldn't ride. I just went, which she did to begin with. But then she said, I never said she couldn't ride. I just wanted her to move to the back of the bus. And, you know, it was just a big mess. And I was really glad that she was removed. So that's basically the experiences I've had with my guide dog. You know, the miscommunication from the public, and, you know, the miscommunication from your family, and just the discrimination experiences. I think police officers need to be more educated about guide dogs. I really do, and I've been trying to figure out different ways to do that. Because I think, you know, in a lot of states, police officers are very cooperative, but in some states they really lack, and they really lack the knowledge, even. They don't even understand that it's a criminal law. And I think that's really sad. And, you know, other than just dealing with the main people that go, is your dog going to bite me? You know, that's annoying, too. But I just wanted to touch on the issue of guide dogs and all the issues that relate to guide dogs, since Larry and Scott did an excellent job commenting on that petting issue to begin with. I just thought there were so many other issues guide dog related that would make a good, make a good excerpt. Chris, what do you have to say?
Nothing. You did a good job for your first solo podcast there.
Thanks. Man, my jaws feel tired. I feel like I've been yakking too long.
And hopefully we'll hear more from Chastity. I was showing her some other clips from Blind Cool Tech, and she seems to enjoy it, so...
Yeah, I didn't realize that you could talk about anything. I thought it was just mainly... I thought it was solely technology-related. I know it mainly is, but I thought, like, the whole entire site had to be technology. And I was telling Chris earlier tonight, I said, I don't know any other websites or games or anything I can review, and then I looked at the site and realized that there were other things being discussed, and I thought, oh, that's cool. So...
So you'll hear more from Chastity later on. You'll hear more from me, and like I said, if you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with me. My email address is chrischass0713@charter.net, and you can email me, and if you want
to... Oh, okay.
Well, now everybody knows when this is being recorded. It's being recorded at 5:05 a.m.
I can see the little thing, you know, flashing off and on the screen. I don't know if any of you guys know this, who are totally blind. I honestly don't know, but I'm partially sighted, and I can see this little thing on the screen that flashes off and on while you're recording. And when I hit insert F12 for the time, it stopped, and I said, oh no, I did all this for nothing, because the little thing stopped flashing, and I thought, oh, we've stopped recording, here we go.
Anyway, so you can email me if you want to have a message for Chastity. Just put in their message, message for Chastity, and I will forward it on to her, and then maybe you guys can start some corresponding, and you'll hear from us pretty regularly, and we'll put more reviews and more topics and more conversation on. And thanks again to Larry for allowing us to do this. So
thanks a lot,
and talk to you guys next time.
All right, bye.